This morning I want to talk about favor. The message is entitled A Year of Favor. Listen to just a few verses. Psalm chapter 5, verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Psalm 30, beginning in verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. May God bless the reading of his word. I want to go to Luke chapter 1 and I want to read a case history of favor in just a minute. But, you know, God never condones favoritism. All throughout the Bible, favoritism always wreaked havoc in a home or a relationship or a family. So favoritism has to do with love. God loves everybody equally, okay? So there's no favoritism in that sense with God. But did you know he doesn't like everyone equally? He loves everyone equally, but not everyone is equally usable to him. Now, I'm sorry, reality hurts sometimes, but let's know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But first, it hurts. God loves everybody. He doesn't like everybody. I'm going to talk about a year of favor for those he likes. And by like, I'm telling you, you love everybody, and I hope so. Now, love, remember, is wishing the good of another. Doesn't mean ooey-gooey warm feelings. You can't have that for the guy at 7-Eleven you don't know, and you can't have that for people walking in the mall that are rude. But love is willing the good of another. Can you will the good of another? Can you do that? Even if you don't like them. See, loving is willing the good of another. Liking someone has to do with the favor of relationship. You'll be roommates in the apartment. You spend time together. You're friends. That's all rooted in like. And, you know, God loves everybody in the church world. Christ died for his bride, but you know what? He doesn't like everybody. And Jesus loved the Pharisees, but he didn't like them. He didn't spend any time around them. There's just some people you don't like. So we're going to talk about favor. So what is favor? Favor appears all throughout the Bible. It's a sense of blessing. It's a tangible sense of encouragement. It's a charm. It's a great sense of acceptance that comes upon a life. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, that Noah found grace and tender favor in the eyes of the Lord. God liked Noah. See? You don't have to like everybody. The Bible never commands you to like everybody. Okay, so get over with it. I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to love. You're supposed to will the good of everyone, even your enemies. But you don't have to hang out with them and go to 7-Eleven with them and go to Starbucks for coffee and rent a room together. That's based on like. And that requires a tangible favor and relationship that you don't have with everybody. Someone say amen. Is this simple enough? Okay. Because, you see, we don't want to project that sometimes on God, but God is not as difficult to figure out sometimes as we would think. The secret of the Lord is with them that reverence him. The secret of the Lord is not with everyone. God doesn't share his heart with everyone. He doesn't tell his secrets to everyone, and you shouldn't either. But he liked Noah. The favor of the Lord was on Joseph. Genesis 39, 1 through 12 says that he had tender favor in the eyes of the man that ran the prison. Something about favor where people just find you charming. People just like you. Your enemies start helping you. There's something about favor, and I'm going to encourage you to prepare for a year of favor. But we're going to talk about favor in some interesting terms. I'm going to read the story of Mary and talk about a strange dimension, a strange case history of favor in a minute. But the Bible says Daniel had great favor upon him, and in the eyes of the eunuch that ran the whole empire, they just took a liking to Daniel. They liked him. They liked Noah. They liked Joseph. They liked Daniel. Moses had favor, Exodus 33, 12 through 17. He had that intangible something that made people just go, Yeah, that guy's amazing. That's wonderful. And favor will always be evident in tandem with dreams. God will put a call in your life. He'll put a dream in your heart, and eventually one day he'll smite you with favor. Jesus had so much favor, he had to practically insult Pontius Pilate to get crucified. It's favor. Israel as a nation, Exodus 31, 20 through 22, had favor. Ruth had favor in the eyes of Boaz. Nehemiah had favor in the eyes of the king. that sent and bankrolled the rebuilding of the walls of the people. Hannah had favor in the eyes of Eli. Esther had favor in the eyes of Xerxes. We see favor all throughout the Bible, but I want to focus on a case history. We're just closing out the Christmas season. We're looking towards a new year, so I think Luke chapter 1 would be appropriate. Verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said unto her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for who? For her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. May God bless the reading of his word. Verse 41, by the way, says that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that Mary, let's put flesh and blood on the picture. You all know the Christmas story, but I want you to know that the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and calls her a highly favored one. Mary had always been held in favor in the eyes of God, but she was just about to collide with favor for the first time in her life. And many of you have been highly favored all of your life, but you're just beginning to collide with favor for the first time in your life. But I want you to notice, as Gabriel comes to Mary, he finds a godly young woman. He finds a scripturally literate young woman. He finds an obedient and holy young woman. And he finds a young woman willing to surrender her will at all costs to the will of God. But I want you to look at the story a little bit, because Mary is highly favored. But let me tell you something many people won't tell you. When God puts his favor on you, he may also tear your life apart. Top to bottom, inside and out. And don't you ever let anyone tell you that you don't have the favor of God on you and God doesn't like you, because everything is topsy-turvy. Now look at Mary's story. She's receiving a wonderful prophecy. You're going to have a baby. It's supernatural. He's going to reign forever. Woo, woo. You know, there's always that yippee factor when God first gives you a word. Woo, hallelujah. That's good. Now watch what's just about to happen, because she is going to walk out now, and she is going to surrender her will to the Father to such a degree, but she's going to be willing to take the taunts, the jeers, the misunderstanding, and she's willing to allow her life to be torn to pieces. She's just about to be lied about. Everybody's going to lie about her. Everybody's going to murmur when she walks by. She's pregnant, pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Heard that one before. She is about to walk out the door, and the highly favored one in the eyes of God the Father is about to clash with favor for the first time. But before she gets there, her whole life's going to be torn apart. Now, Mary had it all together. Right? She had a plan, and she had a man. See, she was very responsible. She had a plan. We live in this little town, and there's a dowry, and we were betrothed at a young age, and there's a marital contract that we've entered into, and about a year from today, we will finally formalize the wedding, and we'll live together, and we have a home that's secure, and Joseph's a carpenter. I'm so proud. And she had her plan. And she had her man, which was this plan represents her thoughts, her ideas. You got any plans? You got your own ideas about your life? I know you did. See, you knew it was going to go a certain way, but it just didn't happen to go that way. You had your plans, but God loves to interrupt our plans with his plans. And just because there's a reverse, just because it seems there's a curse, does not mean by any stretch of the imagination you are not favored by God. or liked by God. Mary's about ready to walk into hell let loose. And she is willing to do it because she knows that no matter what happens, God is in control. No matter what it looks like, no matter what they say about you, no matter what anybody phrases it as, no matter who casts your name out as an unclean thing, doesn't matter, because when you have the favor of God, you're going to rise to the top. You're the cream that rises to the top. It may take some time, but that beach ball is going to pop right back up. Somebody say amen. Now look at this blessed woman. She receives a word, and it's a crazy word. And I'm talking to a group of folk that have believed crazy words. You're going to have a baby without having sexual intercourse with a man. Oh, sure. Yeah, there's a real blueprint for that one, huh? Real precedent for that in the world. God has given so many extraordinary prophecies to people under the sound of my voice. And they're crazy sounding because there's no precedent for them. There's no blueprint. There's never been a book written. Where you're going to go, no one's ever been before. It sounds crazy, but you know what? Just because you cling to a crazy hope doesn't mean that you're crazy and doesn't mean that you don't have the favor of God. I don't know where we, I know where we did, the devil, that idea that if things go wrong in your life, it means God doesn't love you, that God is somehow absent, that God is not present. Is that the case with the Blessed Mother? There's something wrong with her morally? No, but she was willing to clash with circumstances that would challenge every relationship in her life, challenge her integrity, challenge her moral purity, challenge her reputation. She was willing to lay it all on the line, just knowing that if I trust in God and my faith in Him is still intact, everything's going to work out all right. Doesn't mean that you don't have favor because you had a setback. When you get a setback, don't take a step back. Get ready for your comeback. Stay in the game. I know you've been through a lot, but this is a year of favor that's coming up. It's going to be favor from the east, favor from the west, favor from the north, favor from the south, favor from above, favor from beneath. But you've got to prepare your heart, just as the Blessed Mother did, to be able to say to God, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever it looks like, not my will be done, thy will be done. I want you to see. But even Mary had it all laid out. She had a plan and a man. She had it all set. And it was all good. It was a good thing to plan your future. And it's a good thing to be financially responsible. And it's a good thing to live within your means. And it's a good thing to have your own ideas and to think and plan ahead for a rainy day. We studied the ant in God's kingdom economy. And the ant's always preparing in summer for winter. Good trait. But you know, God will even interrupt your best laid plans. He'll interrupt that relationship. He'll interrupt that marriage. He'll interrupt that situation. He'll bring God knows what, God knows how around and tear your life to pieces. Doesn't mean you don't have the favor of God. It means He's going to rebuild everything according to the pitch of, tuned to the pitch of His dream and not your plans. See, Mary's plans had to be interrupted. They were good, but they were not best. So they had to be thrown aside. Are we willing to be interrupted? Are we willing to have our lives inconvenienced? Because, you know, we have it all planned out. I've got my plan. I've got my man. See, the plans represented her ideas. The man represented her security. Because in this culture, if you didn't have a man, that was it. You were dead. You were on poverty street or you went into prostitution. So there was a sense of no covering whatsoever in this culture that does not extend to the same degree in this culture. It was life and death back then. So she had her ideas, she had her life laid out, and then God decided to come and turn it all around. But you know what? It was all turned around and interrupted for the sake of favor. She was about ready to clash with favor. Now, so just Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, God is always in the business of tearing our lives apart. As a man who died under the Nazi tyranny, God is always in the business of tearing our lives apart. And I would add, bless His holy name. Because they need tearing. Because until He shapes us into what He is dreaming about, we're never going to find the fulfillment that we're longing for. We're never going to. He's got to refurbish. He's got to tear it inside out, upside down, right side over. And then when we think He's done, He'll shake us up a little bit more. But I want you to know God never leaves you alone in the midst of the process of favor. Now, good things are on the way. But, you know, I have to encourage you. Now, that part of the word for most of you is past. It's helping you understand your past. A lot of the difficulties you've been through are the preambles to clashing with favor, with the good stuff. But did you know you need the character that's developed in you during the dark times in order to be strong enough to bear the favor and the weight of favor in the good times? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When do you get the strength? During the waiting. When you're waiting, you're getting strong and industrious, and you're obeying God even in darkness when no one else can see you. God rewards you, and you're developing your gifts and abilities. And the strength you get is in the waiting time. But what do you need strength for in the waiting time? So that when the favor comes, you will be able to bear that effortlessly. Joseph could not have carried the public favor unless he had been preceded by the brokenness that destroyed his life and tore him to pieces and built him up bit by bit into the man God wanted him to be. Joseph could never have handled it. Noah could never have handled it. Esther could never have handled it. All these people, the litany of names I mentioned are all people God tore to pieces, rebuilt bit by bit, but it was their strength during waiting that qualified them to bear the weight of favor. Can you imagine the weight of blessing? You know, the children of Israel didn't just walk out of Egypt. They walked out of Egypt rich. And you know, you carry a few pounds of gold, it's a good idea for about 2 miles in the desert under the sun. Then all of a sudden, gold becomes worthless. And the guy that has a thimble of water, get your water! You know, you'll give all that gold just for one little moist, you know. Right? See, our priorities change when we walk around in the wilderness. What you value in the wilderness will reveal what you are, you know. Look at all this gold. Yeah, that'll last about 2 miles. And it's going to be, God, get rid of this, bury it. Let it sink. Loved one, we've been through the wilderness. A lot of us have been waiting, but we have gained our strength in the waiting time, and we're now ready to bear the weight of favor. I pity to think of Joseph at the pinnacle of power if he had not been preceded by brokenness. Oh my Lord, he wouldn't have had the character to sustain him during the blessing time. Someone say amen. Don't be that. But notice what the angel said to Mary. Fear not. Before every major outpouring of God's favor, it always appears. Fear not. You know, Jesus rises from the dead and appears and shows the nail marks to them, and they're, and he goes, fear not. You know, it's a good word for some of you today. Fear not. Whenever you hear that, you know something is just about to happen. Check your bowels. All right? Don't be afraid. God says something monumental is about to happen. Just want to let you know it's coming up. Don't be paralyzed with fear. And you know what? Mary had every right initially to be uncomfortable. Okay? I'm going to have a baby. You know, doing it Mary's way, she was getting skinnier. Now she's going to do it God's way, and she's starting to get chubby because she got morning sickness and she's pregnant now. So everything has changed. Everything is different. And she's got to tell this crazy truth to her family. And you know what? They didn't believe it. Initially, they didn't believe it. Sorry. I don't care what you've read in any books. Joseph didn't even believe it. Now, he was gracious enough to want to put her away privately, but this man was tortured because he didn't believe what she said. Because sometimes God will do something so extraordinary that it's just inconceivable, it's unbelievable, and it defies logic itself. That's who I'm preaching to today. You know, I've yet to find my audience other than you, but I can guarantee there are going to be real people with real issues and real lives, and they're going to have a real past, and they're going to be people that really want to know a way out, and they're going to really want to know someone. Pastor Rick always used to talk about the Vietnam experts that would go down in those tunnels. Our guys would take a knife in their teeth in the dark and climb down in those tunnels, and you don't know what you're going to face in those tunnels underground. But by God, once you've been in those tunnels and learned to map them, then you know how to take people in and out of those things. And that's an essential responsibility, to know how to make the most of your broken time, your waiting time, to get strong so that when your favor comes, you can bear the weight of it and you can take men and women in and out of any dark tunnel God's delivered you from. Someone say amen. So be comforted. Be not afraid. And I would encourage you, be not afraid of favor. Don't be afraid of favor. There are people afraid of blessing. Well, if I'm blessed, then I might not look humble, don't talk yourself out of blessing. I'll take, give me, my name's Jimmy. You don't want yours, I'll take it. Bring it over here. Bring it to me. I don't know what to do with money. It might corrupt me. Bring it right over here. Sign it to Craig Johnson or Bethel Christian Fellowship. We'll take it right off your hands there. Okay? Be not afraid of favor. Be not afraid of blessing. Be not afraid of having your life torn apart and rebuilt. Be not afraid. Things are about to change. And it's not just this year. It's the next decade. You're going to see favor poured out upon the body of Christ. Not on everyone, because God doesn't like everybody. I know that'll get you to cough up a hairball, but think it through. God loves everybody. He doesn't like everybody. And that's the point. I want you to see that distinction. He liked David. They hung out together. They had a lot in common. David was not a religious man. Thank God. In fact, he's persecuted to this day, even in pulpits, by people that misunderstand his walk with God. Because he wasn't a religious man. He despised religion. Loved God. And I'm looking at a few of David's here. And Davidus is.
Little Davidus and David.
God likes some folk and he doesn't like everybody. But the people he likes, he eventually makes it a visible thing. Abraham was called a friend of God. A friend of God. What an honor. He wasn't Rufus Glitterteeth or Steve Stunning, who says he's best looking or best preacher or best theologian. God just liked him. It must be deeper than that. No, you know what? You just like some people. Do you ever notice that? You just don't like others. You know, it's okay. It's not a moral issue. It's just a thing. But some people, be patient, because some people you think you didn't like at all wind up being your best friend. You didn't love them or like them. They were in some third category. But just wait and be patient. But I want you to see a few. I want to bring in what's called the Elizabeth factor. And it doesn't have anything to do with this Elizabeth here, but it does. Mary had heard an extraordinary word. And did you know that sometimes you can believe something can happen to you if you can see that it happened to somebody else? Sometimes you can believe for something good to happen to you. If you see it happen to somebody else close to you, then you can say, I can do that. And that's exactly what God did. Mary's story was so phenomenal. Her promise was so crazy. She was just about to walk into utter ruin with regard to her reputation, life, moral purity, and every allegation against her. But God gave her a friend. God said, Mary, I'm giving you Elizabeth. I'm giving you the most priceless gift you could ever have in this earth. You've heard from heaven, but now how many of you know we need love with skin on it? And Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mother. Now, John was going to prepare the way for the Messiah, but Jesus was the way. So we've got Mama Elizabeth, who's birthing John the Baptist, who's preparing the way, and we have Mary, the Blessed Mother, who is conceived the Lord, who is the way, and they are going to get together for some fellowship. And you know there's nothing sweeter in this earth than like-minded fellowship in Christ. And we all need Elizabeths, or Elizabeths. God will send you men or women who have been where you need to go, have survived what you survived, have a similar vision, and you can be yoke fellows that link up, that understand each other. And did you know the Bible says when Mary just even walked into Elizabeth's home and said, Elizabeth, it says the babe, John the Baptist, leapt in her womb. And did you know when God's purpose syncs up with his dream in the right circumstances, the Spirit of God will leap in your womb. You meet certain people and you like them. And they link up. And God's doing that right now. He's bringing people in here one by one. And they all have a similar heart. And I don't care if it's just one. I'd rather have 30 Hope Diamonds than 100,000 pieces of coal. 30 Hope Diamonds. What do you want in your life? Do you want a bunch of coal? That burns real quick. Smolders too. And hurts your eyes. Coal is nasty. It's out of date. We need diamonds. And God will bring Elizabeths into your life. And God will make sure that you are not alone in the reality of your favor. Because the first phase of favor is everything tears apart and everything goes wrong. The second phase of favor is the public blessing. Now, when she births the Messiah, when that new life is born, when the prophecies are fulfilled. By the way, Mary was a good Jewish girl, and she, along with her nation corporately, were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the hope of all the ages. And did you know God was going to use Mary to bring fulfillment to what she'd been praying for? God had been praying. Mary had been praying for the Messiah, just like her corporate spiritual family. And sometimes God will use you to help fulfill the very thing that you're praying for. God bring peace to the earth. He'll make you a peacemaker. God moved by your Holy Spirit. He'll use you as an instrument of Holy Spirit power in his hands. See, Mary unwittingly became the instrument in God's hands to bring to pass the very messianic expectation the world had been waiting for. The desire of all the ages had come, and he used her. Be not afraid. But loved one, I want to encourage you. He will not leave you alone in the midst of favor, because you need fellowship in the midst of favor. You need faithful people in the midst of favor, because when everything goes right, who are you going to trust? You're going to trust the people that have been the Elizabeths or the Elizaberts in your life that have been there the whole time, that know everything, have been through similar experience. They've been there, bought that, made the T-shirt factory myself. Those are the people you bring with you into the halls of power. Those are the people Joseph brought up. Those are the people Moses used. Those are the people Esther brought up. Those are the people, see, Daniel brought up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, you bring to the pinnacle of prominence the people that have proven who they are in the midst of the difficulties. See, you know, and you never escape false accusation. False accusation is the last thing to happen before promotion. In John chapter 6, there was still existing in the culture a little slight tying Mary back to the original days when her life was torn apart. They said to Jesus once, they said, "We know who our father is." Mamzar. They were calling him a bastard, an illegitimate son. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Read it. There was still a rumor that Mary had gotten pregnant in an inappropriate manner and that Jesus was an illegitimate child. And they still had that little bit of gossip. And did you know, no matter what you do for God, there's always going to be a little bit of gossip about you hanging just over. It's all false. It doesn't matter that it's a lie. It's still going to be there, even in the time of prominence, still going to waft back into your life. But you know what? You just smile real big and you just keep moving forward. And you just keep moving forward because it was never true for her. She was a godly woman. Now, she prepared her heart, but listen to her words. When it was all said and done, Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She didn't say, "Be it unto me according to my will, my plan, my man, my desires." She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And I want us to make that our corporate prayer right now for 2010. Favor's on the way. He's going to favor those whom he likes. You in the waiting time have been developing your strength. You're going to be big enough and strong enough to bear the weight of good news, east, west, north, and south. But I want to declare it, not just this year, but for the next 10 years, we're going to see a progressive release of favor as the heavens open and God pours out his spirit. So I want you to bow your heads right now. Father, we thank you right now for favor. We're willing to receive favor. We're willing to receive the word you give us that may sound crazy to us and others. We're willing to have our lives torn upside down and be made to look foolish in the eyes of men. Because, Lord, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible, Lord. We open our lives up to favor. We're opening our hearts to receive good things from your mighty hand. And, Lord, we ask you right now to seal these words with the power of your Holy Spirit. Comfort those who have been torn topsy-turvy, thrown around. Comfort those to know that you still favor them even though things have not gone the way they thought. But you're going to rebuild things this year and start revealing your heart, your hand that you've been playing at cards. You're going to reveal your hand. You're going to start showing more information that's going to allow us to rejoice in good things, Lord. And we pray the strength to brace waves of favor this year. In the next 10 years, as we have been so quick to embrace failure and bad news in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord some praise right there. Give the Lord some praise. Bless his name.